From Bradley University, this is Outside the Horseshoe. I'm Tanya Coombs. It's the last officially scheduled Peoria City Council meeting of 2013. The standard second meeting of this month lands on Christmas Eve. The final meeting of the year means it's time to gather our City Hall reporter friends to do the annual year-end roundup. Our guest for the conversation are Peoria Journal Star City Hall reporter Nick Vlahos and 1470 WMBD reporter Ed Hammond. Welcome to you both, and thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks.
It feels a little to me like we're coming up on the end of 2013 at a breakneck pace and didn't see it coming that quick.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's gone by just like that. And I suppose you could say that every year it gets a little faster, but this one seemed particularly quick.
Do you suppose that has something to do with the tornado coverage that most of our news outlets have been doing in relationship to the rest of the news pace?
Well, it kind of ate up the whole, sucked the air out of the room, no pun intended, in any way, shape, or form for about a month, you know?
Exactly, the last month and a half of the year. Plus, I think, I don't remember a year where the news coming out of Peoria was at such a breakneck pace. That no sooner you got one story out of the cycle or maybe even still in the middle of it,
right.
Boom, there's another one that came in. And I think that's made the year go by a little bit faster, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I think the saddest part about what has happened at the end of the year in Washington, Pekin, East Peoria, the saddest part about that is we're going to cover the story for a month, a little more then, and then we're going to do some follow-up stories. But the thousands of people whose lives have been impacted by that, there's no amount of news coverage that's ever going to be able to really
That's not going away anytime soon.
Right,
and there's a story in every house, a former house, in every block. You could spend years there literally probably telling everybody's stories and maybe find some similar threads but just some differences at the same time that still makes it interesting.
Right.
Yeah.
We go through and you figure out the top stories of the year, and this tornado of 2013 is going to be the top story of the year for the next, what, 3, 4, 5 years?
Top
maybe.
Story for many a year.
Well, yeah.
I mean, as long as I've been in this town, and Ed, you're a Peoria veteran too. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I remember anything quite like this.
No.
Let's hope that it is the top story for many years to come.
That's
Let's
true.
Hope
Agreed.
There is nothing else that comes along that tops this, because, wow, at the beginning of 2013 was the flood for the Illinois River. That was also an historic weather event for this region. It was the highest level that the river has been in what, 50 years?
Yeah, that would be a massive story in any other year. I mean, and it looked for months like it was going to be the top meteorological story of this area for the whole year.
And in and of itself, it was, in that the city of Peoria had an amazing response. The weather forecast came for rain, and then meteorologists said, and plus you're going to have some snow melt come your way. And then they started building the sandbag wall, right?
Yeah, the wall downtown was – I did a story about that for our special flood section that we did in June. And it was amazing how quickly that all came together and how many people really had to pitch in kind of at the last second to make it work. And it worked. I mean, it really kind of went off almost without a hitch.
Yeah.
Well, and the spinoff to what you're talking about, Nick, is that the experience, I guess, for lack of a better word, that people had of the aftermath of that and coming together and helping people out and straightening that out came again after the tornado.
Sure.
And it seemed like that experience that everybody went through with the flood, from local to FEMA to state, all helped things kind of speed along a little bit.
Sure.
Right after the tornado hit.
Yeah, you wonder if some things happen for a reason sometimes.
That's
you know?
True.
So related to the biggest story or biggest stories of 2013, to me, weather tops the list, and then the human response to weather.
Well, and how many weather-related stories like that do you have where you're talking about people killed as a result? And between the flood in the spring and the tornado in Washington Peak in East Peoria, thank goodness not very many people
died
as a result of that. It's miraculous, and there's no other word for it.
Yeah, I mean, one person was killed actually in the storm, and one person died after the storm in Washington. And it's just amazing when you look at the pictures and you go out there and you see the actual damage for yourself.
Oh.
You know, how could anybody survive something like that?
And
that,
you think of Moore, Oklahoma and Joplin, the number of lives that were lost in that and the destruction that I saw when I first looked at it when the sun came up the next day was like, this is something you see on the Weather Channel from Kansas the next day.
NPR's David Shaper was in Joplin. NPR sent him to Joplin. NPR also sent him here, and he spent some time working out of our newsroom. And that was one of the things he said to me. The damage in Washington certainly rivals what I saw in Joplin.
Well, the time of day, I think, certainly had a lot to do with that, too. The fact that it happened about 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if it happened 5 or 6 hours earlier when everybody was in bed?
Exactly.
You know, instead of being at church or maybe being out at brunch or wherever else, it really could have been a real disaster then. I mean, it's a material disaster right now, but it could have been an even more human disaster at that point.
Yes, yes. So what are some of the other stories that you guys told in 2013 related to city governance and community?
Well, community, I remember the icons that we lost this year, and Pete Vanock and Jim Maloof, Gary Sandberg, of course, Royce Elliott, some of them very, very close together when you dealt with that. And you talk about, like you say, icons or personalities that really shaped what Peoria is, and you lose those four people in 1 year, you're losing your characters.
I totally agree with you on that, Ed. It's, I mean, all those guys you mentioned were just larger than life people, and usually larger than life in complementary ways, not necessarily competing with each other. You had, you know, Pete was his baseball impresario, who was also a restaurateur before that, and you got Royce, who's a comedian par excellence. I mean, everybody knew about Royce all over the country. And then, you know, Maloof, you know, look at all the things that he did. I mean, that goes without saying. And Gary Sandberg, of course, was, you know, always the contrarian type of guy. But in a way, he was like the conscience of city government, the conscience of city council. That's a big hit for any metro area to have guys like that in the first place. That many guys like that is big.
Yeah.
But to lose four of them in a year like that, that's even bigger even sadder for us.
Sure. Don't you imagine that of those four people, the number of lives that they touched in and about the greater Peoria region, and for some of them, maybe nationwide, the number of lives that they touched had to have been significant.
Pete, of course, locally with the Chiefs, but then he went national, if you will, and his eulogy for Harry Carey that was played everywhere, and especially on WGN, which goes everywhere, and Jim Maloof with the Midwest affiliate for St. Jude and who he was able to touch and the lives he was able to touch and save in this area because of that.
If you just took Maloof's work with St. Jude and to the exclusion of everything else that he did, you know, that alone would probably be enough to achieve iconic status, let alone being mayor for 12 years and all the other things that he accomplished.
Sure. Yeah, significant tip of the hat to the icons that we lost, the community icons that we lost in 2013. To that end, there are a couple things that offshoot to me the loss of those four people, particularly Pete Vanocken. The rework of the financing for the ballpark, I think, was a pretty big story.
And the city's role in that. And the community's role in that.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
Absolutely.
Pretty important to the overall economic stability of the warehouse district and it being able to continue to move forward.
You couldn't have a situation there where you just had this big empty ballpark with no team to play in it. I mean, that would have been a disaster.
Sure.
And really, the cost to the taxpayer of the city is not much. I mean, I think it's something like, you know, a bottle of water basically for every resident of the community for like a year for the next how many years. It's very negligible. And, you know, I'm philosophically, I think in a lot of ways, I'm not so sure I'm keen on, you know, public financing of a lot of things sports-wise because I'm not so sure it's effective. But this is worth the money, I think.
Yeah.
That wasn't just public financing, though. That was private financing. And I believe that really, I think in hindsight, will have set the stage for Caterpillar beginning to take sort of a different status and shape in downtown Peoria. There is the move to one-way streets that's taking place in the Washington Adams.
That'll be fun.
You're seeing a little bit of that right now. You've got the down on Adams Street because of the construction down there. There's about a 5-6 block stretch. It's a two-way traffic. And eventually, I mean, you're going to see that, I think, the whole length of both those streets. That's what a lot of people are advocating for. They think it'll promote business. They think, you know, maybe more people will want to walk in those areas, take public transportation, bicyclists, whatever. But the thing that hasn't been answered about that is how much it's all going to cost.
That's true.
The conversation about changing the one-way streets in downtown Peoria to two-way streets is cyclical. It comes up fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. The difference for the way the table is set for this conversation is likely the fact that the Warehouse District is something that people are trying to get redevelopment to that direction. Then on top of that, you've got the Tiger II money that's happening toward the redevelopment of those streets right now. And Nick, you talked about it before, the walkability of the Warehouse District in relationship to the growth there. I think that is significant. The idea that they're talking about and have actually changed a stretch of what used to be one way to two way in the face of all that major construction that's taking place down there was notable to me.
Well, it seems, you know, I don't know if you've been down there very much, but it seems to be working pretty decently.
Yeah.
You know, at least the times I've been through there, it seems, you know, it seems fairly natural.
Yes.
Almost.
Well, let me tell you the times that I have been through there most recently, they had to do with the press conferences that would be called at the Peoria Police Department, particularly most recently.
The home invasions.
It's been the home invasions, right?
Don't shoot. Mm-hmm. That still goes on.
But when I was leaving the police department, I would come out and come up and try to head back toward Bradley. And I'm like, oh, I have options. I can turn left. I can turn right. Look at that. Choices.
That's right.
Well, you know, and that goes into a whole infrastructure thing that came into play during the year, too, with the Allen and Alta Road intersection. Now what are you going to do with Maine and University?
Yes.
That, you know, we've got
a lot
of infrastructure work that needs to be done. And a lot of that came to the forefront during this year.
Very much so.
There were some bigger things that pushed forward the Main Street intersection rework, because that wasn't something that was on the city's immediate radar to fix. And the Allen and Alta Road is something that definitely got immediate attention because of
the flooding, basically. Yes. Going back to our number one story of the year.
Yes.
All the Allen Alta thing, all roots back to that. And the Maine University thing was, granted, it wasn't a flood. Well, it was a flood. And
it
was a man-made, more like a man-responsible flood than it was a natural flood, you know. But, you know, in some ways, maybe it's also just a happy accident.
Well, and as you mentioned earlier, Nick, maybe things happen for a reason. You know, we talked about the flood and the response to it, to the tornado. Now you have the water main break, which turned into a flood in that particular corner, which leads to more of what's going to happen in that intersection and what's going to happen probably the whole landscape through Main Street maybe as a result of that.
I think that's a very good possibility. If that whole stretch up until you get to the turn down the hill, I think that could have a whole new look before much longer. And I'm talking mostly in the way the street is laid out and parking and that sort of thing. And it will be conducive to business. At least that's what the proponents of it say. In some ways, it's already happening business-wise, especially if you look right around Maine and Sheridan and look at all the new little local businesses that have popped up in that area in the last year and a half. There's a lot more going on over there now than there used to be.
They're also, the city is doing a big education campaign about the other routes that people can take that would take them out of the loop of that Main and University Street intersection.
I think that's going to be the thing that, you know, this whole thing is going to hinge on that, I think, trying to re-educate people to tell them to get them to avoid that intersection and take other maybe more direct routes. I mean, and if you look at it, if you're going downtown from, like, say, Sterling Avenue area down into the city, it really doesn't make a lot of sense to go through Maine and University. You can stay on 74, or you can take Nebraska, or maybe even go south and take some of those routes, too. They've got to alleviate some of the congestion at that intersection.
Sure.
And you're not going to alleviate the pedestrian traffic because you've got Bradley right there, you've got all the businesses in Campus Town and One World and Navani's and all that, and that's not going away.
Well, hopefully it's not going away ever. That is everybody's hope.
Knock on wood, right?
Okay, so you've got the Maine and University Street intersection that we're talking about now, and then you've got the Warehouse District. What rests in between that, I think, is probably one of the bigger stories of the year. The Pere Marquette, that fine historic lady, is open again for business under a new flag. The Marriott flag flies on that hotel now. And, of course, then the Courtyard is to be opening
this spring, I believe, or maybe early summer of 2014,
yes,
from what I understand.
Right. So that's a story that started back quite some time ago, certainly not in 2013, well before that. But in a way, the ribbon being cut on that building and that breathes some new life into downtown Peoria for years.
And
to
also
come.
Brings back up to the surface what's going to happen now with that block across the street where Madison Theater is.
Yes.
And that probably that discussion may have been put off a little bit longer if it wasn't for the Pier Marquette being back open again and the Marriott going in.
It's the next logical area to take a look at is to see, you know, when you walk outside that hotel, you want to see something that's appealing. You don't want to see a bunch of boarded up storefronts. You don't want to see, you know, a bar that's open necessarily until 4 o'clock in the morning with all kinds of shady characters walking around, that sort of thing. You know,
he looked at me when he said that. Did you see that?
I think he did.
I was thinking of myself, actually. More than that. But you know, they're looking for a proposal now to, you know, what are we going? The city is soliciting proposals to give some ideas about what to do with the Madison Theater. And it's going to be a tough thing because it's been open. It's been vacant for, 10, 11 years now?
Sure.
There's a lot of repairs and probably a lot of stuff that's got to be done.
There's still that sentimental value with that building, though.
But being able to maintain that building from this point forward in a utilizable, repurposed fashion could be very expensive.
Right. It's not going to be economically feasible, I guess, to try and salvage some kind of that building.
That's why I think that's why the city is pairing this with, like, give us some ideas about what you want to do with the parking lot that they own next door.
Sure.
You know, if they can do a public-private new-old type of a thing, kind of like what they did with the Pear. I mean, you've got the courtyard. It was a new hotel, and that can complement the old hotel and kind of make it more feasible to renovate the old hotel. If you put a new business in the parking lot, maybe you can then do something with the Madison Theater that makes sense financially.
Anything else?
Well, I don't know. What are you doing New Year's Eve?
We may have a few more topics before then.
You never know. Chances are there'll be a few more press conferences. Well, Eddie Hammond, 1470 WMBD, thank you for taking the time.
Thanks for asking me.
And sharing your perspectives on the year's coverage. Nick Vlahos, it's always a pleasure to share a microphone with you.
Pleasure. Thank you for allowing me to share it with you, and thank you for the coverage that you provided as well.
No, likewise. Nick Vlahos is the City Hall reporter for the Peoria Journal-Star. I'm Tanya Kuntz. This is Outside the Horseshoe, our final Outside the Horseshoe for 2013. Thank you for being with us. With us.